All right, well, let's pray.
Hallelujah. Lord, we come to you with thanksgiving and faith. We love your ways, Lord. You do everything right. Your way is the best. Satan's a liar. And your word is true. And when we do what you say, Lord, we are fulfilled. We're blessed. There is no higher blessing that a human can have. We agree. And we just pray again for your help here as we share, that we could draw close to you, that we could learn your ways, that I could share with the grace of God, the power of God. I need you and I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, here we are at the last session. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Really enjoyed being here this week, and I hope you all can have room for just a little bit more. Do you? A little bit of space? I think I got a little bit more in me. So, thank you for those who have been praying for me, because I need that. You know, we've been talking about humility a lot. One of the people wonder, how can I know if I'm humble? And one of the great signs of humility is if you pray. Think about that. If you don't pray, first of all, unless you feel needy, right? Usually I don't. So if you're praying, that means you're feeling needy. You need something. Humble people are needy people. And so if we're praying, we're in a good place. Well, it was interesting how God led. You know, as I prepared for this, I knew I was going to be doing this for, I think, 2 months. And several of the messages, like the first 4 messages, were very, just came to me so easily, and I wrote them down, and I had notes. As you notice, there's no notes today. I felt like I wanted to share on boy and girl relationships, but it just didn't seem to open up as I wanted it to. And then when Roman came here, he said, hey, I've got this message on my heart about boy and girl relationships. So I just praise God, you know, for how he led. And I was getting really nervous because I just didn't feel like I had the bread for my friends. But I was so blessed this morning to hear those things. You know, I'd rather hear Roman speak about that than myself. And you probably the same. He's, you know, a man who's got more experience than me, and he has 9 children married, and I don't have any there yet. And so I was just soaking it in, taking notes. But I did think I might want to share some of my testimony about my marriage and my courtship. I thought about bringing my wife here, but I wasn't sure how to do that. We'll start out with a reading of Scripture here in John 15. I have to work a little bit harder today because I didn't do all the notes for you. John 15. You know, in a way, we've been talking about abiding in him this week. We haven't used that terminology, but really, the Bible has so many different ways of describing the same thing. John 15. One of the greatest joys in the Christian life is getting your prayers answered. One of the most discouraging things in the Christian life is when it seems like my prayers don't get answered. Are you that way too? But oh, when an answer to prayer comes, when I pray for something and I know God answered my prayer, that's thrilling. And I've seen in my life some amazing answers to prayer that I could just blew me away. One time I was in a blizzard and I could not see straight. Everything was going like this. And there was no other cars on the road. I couldn't see where the road was. I couldn't see anything. It was just this white blur of movement. And it kept going, kept going. And I just said, I'm going to have an accident. And another person was with me. And all of a sudden, we just cried out, Jesus, save us! You know, help us! And it instantly stopped. There was not a drop of snow falling. Can you believe it? It happened. We were in a blizzard and it stopped. And we were driving and there was no snow at all. We looked at each other and we just were like, praise God. He's real. I needed that at that time. You know, God does things when we need it. He's a God who answers prayer. He doesn't always answer the same way. And we could probably all share all these ways that God has answered our prayers. But that is one of the most thrilling things in the Christian life, isn't it? And so when we look at courtship, this is an opportunity to walk with God, to see Him answer my need. Maybe one of the biggest answers I need in my life. This is one of the most important things you're ever going to do is to say I do to somebody else. Because once you say I do, that's your course for your life. And so we really need God. And my testimony is that God showed Himself real to me. I'd like to share some of that with you in this message, and then I'd like to share just some final closing thoughts. But let's look at here, chapter 15 of John, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Wow. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. See, again, when God tells us to do something, it's always going to bring joy. He's not out to ruin our day. He's not out to make us miserable. He's out to fulfill. Keep my commandments, it says in the Old Testament. Keep them as the apple of thine eye. And some people get confused and get all bound up with this works mentality and this condemnation, which we talked about on Monday. When they fail, I didn't keep his commandments. I didn't keep it. Therefore, I'm not abiding in his love. My prayers can't get answered, or whatever the case may be. That's not what keep his commandments means. It means keep them in front of your face as this is where I'm going. This is my standard. This is God's will for my life. And when I fail, here's where the humbling comes in. When I fail, because I didn't do it, didn't keep it, that's an opportunity to humble ourselves and put that thing right back high up there where it needs to be. Lord, your word is still true. Your word is still my standard. I want to keep it. I'm going for it. Lord, wash me in your blood. Cleanse me and bring me victory. If you have that attitude, you are doing what this says here. And your joy will be full. And you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. All right, so just I'd like to share a few thoughts about courtship. Did you know that God says you can be married to who you will? You get to pick. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. You know, God doesn't force people to do things. He gives you a choice. And in this matter here, you know, I used to struggle with this when I was seeking a wife. I wondered that age-old question, like Roman said, is there just one and I have to figure out who it is? Or do I have some latitude? Or how does it work? It says here, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband is dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. Only in the Lord. No, you can't marry a non-Christian. But God says you can marry whoever you want. It says here, if your husband's dead or if you're not even, not married yet, God gives us the freedom. So, you know, you get to pick. Now, once you pick, that's God's will for your life, right? You can't say, well, I got the wrong one. No, God gave you the choice. You picked them. So that's the way it is. But this is the way I look at it, and this is the way I looked at it. Okay, I get to pick. Now, do you remember what Rick said, his son said to him? Dad, you know, why don't you just pick for me? Why don't you just show me? You know, I think that's a great thing to say to your Heavenly Father. Dad, you know me better than anybody else. Heavenly Father, you know the way I'm wired. My personality, my likes, my background, my culture, all these things. Dad, would you help me to make a good choice? Would you pick one for me? You know, God is looking for people like that. He's looking for people on the earth that will not just do their own thing. Yeah, He gives you the choice. You know, if you want to just be headstrong, if this is the one I want, this is what I want, He'll say, all right, you know, go for it. But He's looking for people who will say, Dad, you know everything. You know the best. Would you help me to make a good decision? I don't trust myself. You know what? You know so much more than I do. Please, Father, lead me. I believe God, His eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole world, looking for people like that to say, hey, man, you know, send the angels. Guide him. And He knows what we need. And in my testimony, God knew what I needed. I shared a little bit of who I am with you all, and you've probably gathered that I've tended to be a more fearful person in my life. And in this matter of, you know, marriage, it was a big deal to me. I'm also a perfectionist, by the way. So that didn't help. So God knew what I needed, and He gave me something unusual.
I grew up in Philadelphia, PA, moved out to Colorado to live with my cousin at 21. Actually, I went out to visit him the first time, then I moved a year later.
And he took me to his youth group. First time I was there, I just arrived, came to the youth meeting, all these youth. And I saw her, 17. And I wasn't interested in marriage. I was not even saved. I was seeking the Lord. My cousin was born again, and I just wanted to get close to God. But I went to this youth meeting, and afterwards, I was just standing around, because I'm not one to just go up to people and talk to them so quickly. But I noticed this girl talking to a bunch of other girls. And so I couldn't help but be curious. What's she going to say? So I can picture myself being there right now. Everything about it. You know how that some scenes just stick in your mind?
And I listened in, and she was talking about Jesus. She was talking about how much Jesus meant to her. I never met a girl like that. Where I grew up. All the girls where I grew up, they were into fashions, boys, money. We were from totally different cultures.
I was a preppy boy from Philadelphia. She was what do I even call that? She was sort of like hillbilly. Not quite. She lived way out, away from the civilization. Okay, my mother used to take me to the store, drag me around all these stores shopping. I love to shop, by the way. And like all the time, she would drag me around when I was a little boy. My wife used to go shopping once a month. That's how often her family shopped. They grew everything. You know, they made their own stuff. Just totally different. But I noticed this girl, she had a heart for Jesus. And I was wanting to know the Lord. And I stood outside the little group looking on, and I like heard a voice. I don't know, it wasn't audible, but it was a thought. I want to marry her. And it shocked me. Because I was not thinking about marriage. In fact, I knew a little bit about the Bible, and I knew that I was a non-Christian, so it wasn't even possible. But I know now God, like I said, He knew what I needed. I need some extra push most of the time to get with it and do it. And so He gave me that amazing thing. I never thought about a girl about that ever. I want to marry her. And like I said, it was one of those moments where you're just kind of shake your head. And, whoa, what was that? And it only took me 8 years. It only took me 8 years from that time. Isn't that good? Think of how long it would have took if the Lord hadn't given me such a sign. So there's no formulas, all right? People want to make a formula out of something because it's easier that way. Look, you just punch in the formula and boom, you get it done. And so you hear a testimony from somebody and you say, that's the way you do it. I heard this one guy say, you know, some people could carry this real far. I don't think anybody ever did this, but he said, you know, we read in the Bible about this wonderful story about Isaac needing a wife. So the servant goes to the land of Abraham's background, and he prays, you know, that, okay, the first girl that comes along and fills up the water troughs and so forth, she'll be the right one. So one of these guys who likes the formulas today, saying, okay, I got the formula. I'm going to go to the gas station, and I'm going to park right next to the pump. And the first girl that comes along and offers to fill up my tank, she's going to be the one. Okay, you think that's a great plan?
Well, it would be a miracle if somebody did. No, there's no formulas about it, okay? It's walking with God.
And walking with God is way better than a formula because you get to be with Him. So, God knew what I needed. And, you know, my testimony is that if it wasn't for my wife, I would not be here today. I wouldn't be speaking to you all. She's my helpmeet. I can't tell you how much she's helped me in my life. I needed a helpmeet like that so bad. Like I said, I tend to be a real fearful person. You know, if I had a wife who shot down my ideas, even in a little way, I mean, I would just probably have fallen apart like a wet paper bag. Really. I'd just be truthful. But no, she just always supported me. She always believed. And even when I didn't do very well, even when I was floundering, she never kicked me when I was down. She always lifted me up. And so, that's God's will for marriage. That's God's will for you sisters. You know, it says in Proverbs 31, what does it say? Her husband will be known in the gates. the heart of him does safely trust in her. Those verses are powerful. You have incredible power to build or to destroy. It says the wise woman builds her house, the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. My girls could all tell you about the pictures I drew over the years when we studied that one about this lady. The big sledgehammer going like this. And rocks flying away from the house. And girls, that's it. That's what you can do if you're going to be one of those foolish ones. And then we had the other lady. She was up on the roof with a hammer putting shingles on. And, you know, really building. Hey, that's true. You know. No lady's going to get a sledgehammer or a bulldozer and knock her out. Well, I better not say no, lady, because there's, who knows, you know, wow, you read weird things in the news. But none of you godly ones who want to go the Lord's way would do that. But the reality is sometimes, you know, women don't support like they should. And it actually tears down. So I just might want to share my testimony. You know, God blessed me with a wife who builds. And because she's a builder, I am so much stronger than I could ever be by myself. You know, you're supposed to be way more together than you could ever be by yourself. That's God's will. When there's a bad relationship, it actually becomes the opposite. You begin to be less than you could have been. Coming home from work when there's a miserable home, you know, that's why men go out to the bar and hang out. My dad did. Because coming home just wasn't fun. And it was his fault too. You know, I'm not blaming my mom. And I'm not blaming either one of them. You know what? They did the best they knew how. I don't hold that against them. I want to honor them. But when you have a home that's and a wife that's building and a home like that, it's a strength. It's powerful. You want to get home. You love it. It builds you up. You get beat up out there in the world, beat on by the devil. You don't need to get beat on when you come home, right? No, you need somebody to come alongside and give you a hug, love on you. So it's a big deal. So we could spend a long time on that. I don't know. Let's see here. Just a few thoughts. She was my best friend and is. I just wanted to be around her. You know, if I was in these circles, I probably, you know, it wouldn't have worked out. Because I couldn't have done what I did. I'm not saying it's a good thing that you should all do that. But I just went to her house all the time and hung out. Her mom and dad were there. You know what? Our hearts were pure. There was nothing there. And we got away with some things that maybe some people wouldn't get away with. But we just loved to be with each other. Of course, I sort of denied it. Christians lie to themselves a lot. There's nothing. You know, it's not really that way. Well, it was. But really, it was, we were doing what Romans said. We were growing close on the right levels. On spiritual levels. Anybody ever see that diagram? You know, the closer, right here, you're this far apart, but guess what? The closer you both get to God, the closer you are to each other. Because we're spirit beings. And so that's what we did. She played the piano, I played guitar, we'd try to write songs. They weren't very good. I'm not going to sing any. But we were having a good time. We were loving God and loving each other and just, we were the best of friends. We really liked being with each other. We played Bible trivia all the time. And I loved her parents, they loved me. So why did it take so long? Well, I knew I wasn't really ready yet because I was a new Christian. I didn't get saved until I was 23. she was ready to go for God. And actually, there was some defrauding there, I would say, like we heard about today. In other words, I wasn't ready to take that commitment, like he said, but I really liked being with her. And so her heart was just going out. Hey, this guy likes me, you know, this is... And then I shared with her at one point, well, let's see, how did that work? She was going to college then, she went away to college, and she felt led to be a missionary. She wanted me to be a missionary too, but it just didn't feel right for her to drag me to the mission field. And she didn't feel so either. But she went to, let's see, how did it go? She went to a missionary training school, and I went to YWAM, to a YWAM school. And at this YWAM school, I discovered there's a lot of other Christian girls, too. And a lot of these girls were more my culture. It's the only way I know how to say it. And, you know, they were good-looking girls. I liked them. And so she came back from her school and I was done with mine. And it was like, I wasn't sure if she was really the one. And I just shared with her, I'm not sure if I like you that way. Well, she was devastated. And she just took it to the Lord and she said, well, I'm going to go serve God. She went to Africa for 2 years, to Mozambique. She was a radical. I mean, there's a civil war going on there. Bullets flying. But she wanted to go there and be a midwife. So she went. And as far as she knew, it was done. It's over. And I went serving the Lord too. I actually got into... it was about a year later. I felt like I wanted to. I felt lonely. I felt like I wanted to help me. And there was another girl at the church. We were worship. I was the worship leader, and there was a worship team. You know, she was the girl who did the overhead projectors. Back in the old days, when they didn't have those little buttons you push. She put the little thing on, you know, and she was a really nice looking girl. And. So we started a relationship, but it was a terrible relationship. It really was bad. Too much of this stuff in me. I thought I was pretty spiritual. And, you know, how'd you like to be in a relationship where you're never sure where you stand? You have to perform. That's what I was doing. You know, even though I thought that was being spiritual, sort of. Anyway, don't want to get into all that, but that was what she had. And she was a girl who really had suffered through rejection. She'd had some boys that abused her and used her. And so she was really touchy. And so I believe the Lord allowed this thing to happen. For one thing, to purify me and purify her. So to make a long story short, it was a disaster. And very painful. Extremely painful. I said after that, I will never date again the rest of my life. I said to my friend, I said, the next girl I date will be my wife. I'm done with that. And that's what happened. I didn't understand courting, you know. I didn't even hear that, I don't think. But the next girl I date, I'm going to marry her. So it was really painful. All the hurt, the pain. I'm so glad that I didn't follow through. I actually got so far as I was ready to go buy a ring, an engagement ring, in the midst of all this. And I had such a lack of peace that instead of doing that, I called it all off. Christmas Eve. It was really weird and bad. You know, when we don't do things God's way, it brings pain. When we do things God's way, it brings blessing. So, we've forgiven each other. that girl and I, and she's married, and I'm married, and it was a painful thing. She was certain that it was God's will for us to be married. She said, I know it's God's will. God told me this is right. This was after I said we need to break up. I said, well, he hasn't told me yet, you know, so we'll just have to wait and see. Well, it was sort of like this thing. Well, I know it's God's will, and he'll see, he'll find out. But as what I began to do was to draw close to God. First of all, confess, God, I am really a wreck. I'm not near as spiritual as I thought I was. And I lived in the way back off the road. We had this house, and there was no other houses around. And there was like BLM land, Bureau of Land Management. So I could go out walking every morning. And I used to walk along this ditch. They have irrigation ditches there where the water runs in. Every day. And it was such a beautiful time. Because I was fellowshipping with Jesus. Sharing my heart. I felt that He wanted me to get married. But something changed. Instead of gimme, gimme, the prayer changed. Lord, change me, change me. Make me the kind of person who's going to be a good husband someday. You know, I'm sure God was happy about that change in the prayer. Change me, God. And then I started praying for my wife, even though I didn't know who she was. God bless her today. I believe you have somebody for me. I pray that you'll prosper her. I pray that you'll draw her close to you, that you'll, you know, I don't remember what all I prayed, but every day out there. And it was some of the sweetest prayer walks that I've ever had because it was real. Hey, God cares. He hears my loneliness. He hears my pain, and He's got an answer for it. And so it was a beautiful time and a life-changing time. God changed my perspective. And He opened my eyes to see again the one I saw all those years before. I realized, you know what? She's my best friend. I really like her. And so I sent her a page from my diary. You know what she said? What would you say? What would you say? If you got it, huh? Well, it shared my heart. My deep feelings. Not about her, but just about my life. About my deep inner feelings. She said, don't send me those anymore. Unless you mean business. You know, unless you are... You know, don't send me those. It was very nice. You know, she didn't say it mean, but she said, please don't send me that. You know, that's defrauding. Really, she didn't say those words. But why? Because she's hearing my heart. She's hearing my desires. And, you know, she always did love me. So she said, please don't send me those anymore unless you are interested in me as a wife. Well, that forced me. Like, I remember what I said? That forced me to face the fact, all right, you know what, I really am. I just wanted to kind of gently wade into these waters. No, can't do that with people's feelings. And so I did write back and say, you know, yeah, I am serious. And she welcomed that. I'm trying to think of how that happened. Yeah, I actually called her up. In Africa, back in the old days, when you said one thing, you had to wait 10 seconds. Okay, and then you heard their thing, and if you didn't wait enough, you echoed back and you couldn't understand each other, and it was really bad. And it cost like 10 bucks a minute or whatever it was. It was really expensive. I called her up and I said, yeah, I'd like you to come back. So get a ticket. She said, one way? Yeah, one way. And she said, I'll be coming in December. This was June. I thought she'd be ready to jump on the next plane, but no. She said, I'll be there in December. So praise God, you know, He deals with us where we're at. There's not a formula, but God is faithful. He has a good plan for your life. He knows what kind of man you need, you know, or you can bless, and you can will bless you. He knows what you like. So believe Him for that. Just a side note, when my wife was 14 or 15, 14 I think, she heard, she was in this faith movement, right? Kind of name it and claim it somewhat. She studied some of their materials and stuff. So she wrote a paper, which I still have, that says, "My Man," on the top of it. She was 14. You know what's interesting? God knew who her man was going to be. And I'm that man that she wrote down when she was 14. I'm not suggesting all of you do that. But she did it with pure heart. She just believed, hey, this is right. You know, God cares about me. He knows what I like. I'm just going to write down what I like. And it turns out that I met all those things. Amazing. God doesn't always follow the same formulas. Faith. So we got married. We'd had a very short engagement. She got back, I think it was the day before Christmas or something like that. And we got engaged two or three days later. Got married in April. You know, after 8 years, you don't need a real long time. And we have been blessed ever since. Praise God. That's one of the most exciting times of my life. God answered prayer. I wanted His will. Laura wanted His will. And we abode in Him. And He gave us what we desired. So I just want to encourage you all with that. God is a good God. And just another word. You know, we had a pure relationship. We always did. After we got married, of course, then you're free. You're free to have a physical relationship. And one of the things we said to each other, you know, we said, there's no brakes on that vehicle. There ain't no brakes on there. God made a vehicle with no brakes on it. So don't get in there and start rolling, because you're going to crash. There's no brakes on it for a purpose. Too many people get in and the thing starts rolling and they can't stop. Satan is really a liar in this area. As if he has the corner on pleasure and on sex. What a liar. He's a thief. Why do people in the world always keep searching for some more dirty, kinky, you know, weird thing to do? You know what I mean? It doesn't just stop here. It's got to keep going, going, and going. Why do they have to do that? Inside themselves, they know there's something more. There's something better. You know, that's not it. There's got to be something more. And so they go, the devil leads people to go in a physical direction, you know, physical things and illicit things. When there is, the truth is, there is something more. You know what it is? It's two people that love each other with all their heart. Two people who are one in spirit and who express that love in purity and holiness. That's true fulfillment. That's what God made. Don't let the devil rob you. I just felt like I had to share that. All right, well, we're going to go into the second part here. I just want to sort of wrap things up this week. Maybe you can write this one down if you didn't already. Until you know that life is war, you cannot know what prayer is for. Until you know that life is war, you cannot know what prayer is for. Okay, you're all going to go home from here. You've heard a lot of things that, you know, are inspiring, encouraging. I want to go for it. I want to change. I want to do different things. Guess what? Get ready for warfare. Do you think the devil heard that? Heard you say, I will, I will. Do you think the devil said, oh, go ahead and let him? That's not the way it works. You set your will to go God's way, and guess what? War just started. You just declared war against God's enemy, Satan. And if you don't realize that and don't expect that, you're not going to last, because there's going to be a war. That word of God that you heard is going to be fought over to get you to give it up and say it didn't work. I tried it. Until you know that life is war, you cannot know what prayer is for. You're going to pray. You're going to have to pray like you never prayed before. Don't give up. Pray. Get someone else to pray with you. I want to talk about grace. I looked it up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, and they have such good scriptural things in there. Grace, the divine influence of the Spirit in renewing the heart and restraining from sin, keeping you from sin. You know, when I grew up in my church, we said grace. That's what we called it. Anybody else ever have a saying like that? We're going to say grace. And so we said this certain prayer. Bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. It's a great prayer. But you know what? We hardly thought about what we said when we said it. But my idea of grace as a Christian was that it's sort of this nice flowery thing, you know, and God's graceful. I didn't really know what it was. What is grace? I thought grace was a little prayer. No, grace is something powerful. Grace is something incredibly powerful. The influence, the divine influence of the Spirit to renew your heart and restrain you from sin, keep you from sin. It's not something way out there. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9. Turn there quickly. I'll write it down if you want to look at it later. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9. Remember the story. Paul had this thing, this thorn in the side. And I love God's wisdom. He didn't tell what it was. God does that in His Word. He doesn't spell everything out so that it fits everybody. He had this thorn, and he says he prayed three times. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Grace is power. My grace is sufficient for thee. God's grace is sufficient for you to stand. You know, to stand in the fight. To make it. To be able to keep those I wills. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul said, for I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Again, grace wasn't some thing way out there. It was something in me, God's power, laboring. And then let's turn back to 2 Corinthians again, 9. And just listen to this one. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Does that sound like enough to make it? Is there enough in there? Stuff for you to succeed? That's what grace is, okay? That's what we all need. Guess how we get it? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. May all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Why? For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. That's what we've been talking about all week. Humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And I just want to say something right here. Sometimes people think that to humble themselves, people like to manufacture these opportunities to humble themselves. Okay, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to scrub all the toilets. That's really dirty. I'll do it. I won't even put gloves on. Yeah, that's not humbling yourself. You know, people come up with all kinds of scenarios. But you know, guess what? Those things can be really pleasing to the flesh. I mean, you can feel so proud as you get on down there without the gloves, scrubbing all those awful things out of there. You can actually feel great and proud about it. That's not humbling yourself. Humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. What does that mean? It means the mighty hand of God has led you into a circumstance. Given you your parents, given you your boss, giving you these friends or this church. Okay, we don't get to pick it where we humble ourselves. The question is, will we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God? The things that He has brought in your life. Right now, every one of you has ample opportunities to humble yourself. You don't have to manufacture any. Okay? Don't bother. You already have them there. The question is, will you do that? Will you say, "Yes, Lord, I will accept this opportunity to humble myself under your mighty hand." Guess what the character quality for today is? Humility. This thing is so powerful. We've been talking about relationships because that is 90%+ of the Christian life, maybe all of it. But for whatever it is you need, this is the answer. You know, we should be running for opportunities to humble ourselves, really, when you think about it. The only thing keeping you from God's grace is what? This is it, this dirty old thing. It's the only thing from keeping you from God's grace. Look like it's worth it? Get rid of it. It stinks. It's ugly. When we compare the two, it's not even close. And yet, so often we do, and I do sometimes too, pick that thing up. And so the grace stops. That wonderful, loving God that we talk about and sing about, that He loves us so much, He loves us so much that He'll stop the flow of grace when we're proud. Because pride destroys. And God loves us too much. He says, "No, we can't do that. We got to stop. And so the grace stops flowing. We fail. And we say, "Oh God, I need you again." And then the flow starts flowing again. That's the way. If you have contention, what is lurking somewhere? Pride. Only by pride cometh contention. If you have marriage problems, guess what's lurking somewhere? Listen to this statement. It's impossible for two humble people to not get along. True or false? It is impossible for two humble people to not get along. Now, let me qualify a little bit. I'm not saying they're always going to agree. You know, I can totally disagree with a brother at such and such church about some doctrine, Calvinism or this or that. But if he and I are humble, guess what? We're not in contention. I give him space. He gives me space. I don't have to go to his church. He doesn't have to go to mine. I can still bless him. And you know, he can bless me. No, contention comes from pride. You may not agree on everything, that's sure. We're just different. People are different, you know. We have different ideas. Humble people can be different and still bless each other. Proud people, that's hard. No, my way's got to be the only way, and you know, since you didn't choose that way, then you're wrong. There's something wrong with you. Only by pride cometh contention. Let's just talk about salvation. All right, we've got a lot of people here. Maybe some of you are not saved yet. I don't know. I don't know you all. Guess what's the only hindrance between you getting saved? All you got to do is humble yourself. Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. That's how people get saved. I thought, you know, that again, that song, Isaac Watts said, I pour contempt on all my pride. I thought about making something I could pour out on that ugly thing, but I just didn't have time. But maybe confetti, you know, have a big pitcher full of it and just... I looked up the word contempt. Listen to this. The act of despising and viewing or considering and treating something as mean, vile, and worthless. That's what we need to do with that old pride. Despise it. View it and consider it and treat it as something mean, vile, and worthless. Let's do a little illustration. I know you guys like those. Let's have all the guys come up front. Okay. Let's see. Let's move this. Can somebody move that out of the way? All right. Now, I would like one volunteer of the guys. Maybe one of you that's not as the biggest, the tallest, or whatever. That we wouldn't want to admit that. Maybe I'll have to do it. But who would volunteer to be that one? Anybody? All right. Praise the Lord. He's a humble fellow. Praise God. What's your name?
William.
William?
Hagler.
Okay. Amen. All right. William, we're going to do two illustrations here. The first time you're going to be a proud fellow, okay?
All right,
just pretend. And you're going to try to exalt yourself up onto that platform. Okay? Now, these gentlemen represent the Lord. Okay, so guys, you can't be too rough. And God resists the proud. Now, how many of you think He's going to make it? Anybody? I told you He was proud. All right, well, come on. Some of you other guys, make sure we got a good line here. We're not... You know, he's got a will here. All right. William is going to try to exalt himself. Go ahead. Go for it. Okay, all right. That's good. Great. Better stop it. All right, William. You know, we got to learn the hard way sometimes, don't we?
Yeah.
Most of us have to learn the hard way. But, you know, the Bible says that when we're humble, when we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He shall lift us up. Okay, I want you guys, lift Him up. Lift Him up. Make it easy. Lift Him up. Amen. Okay. Thanks a lot. Okay, there's about zero chance he's going to get up there the first time, right? Now, if he was like one of these pro football players, maybe he could have, I don't know. But that's just a little illustration, you know. God's way bigger than 40 guys, right? And if we are proud, if there's pride in our life, and we're going to try to exalt ourselves, do our own thing, get our own way, guess what? We ain't going to make it. Because heaven is against us. But when we humble ourselves, William, was it hard to get up there the second time? You know, all he had to do was just lift him up. That's the way it works. Don't forget that. When you leave here, God wants to lift you up. He's a lifter up, my glory and the lifter up of my head. He's not someone who wants to put you down. He doesn't want to hinder you. He's waiting, though, for the people who are going to humble themselves. You all have opportunities. I believe God's spoken to you this week about ways that you can humble yourself when you go home. Do it. And watch what God does for you. And that's the questions that we have for the group. Let's look at those. And this first one is more of a personal one, but I don't know. Maybe you can do it in group two, but it is kind of personal. But it says, can you think of a time or times when you know the grace of God was working in your life? How was humility connected to that? It's probably a better personal one. Can you think of a time or times when you know the grace of God was working in your life? How was humility connected to that? When you know the power of God was working through you or in you. Okay, two. Has God shown you any areas where you can humble yourself this week? It helps to share how God's speaking to me. And then the third thing I wrote was to just pray for each other as you go from here concerning the challenges you're going to face. The warfare you're going to face. So I want to thank you all for letting me be your teacher this week and just for your attention and prayers and love. And let's pray for each other as we go from here. That we can serve the Lord and please Him, do His will. So I love you all. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.